Hi friends, welcome. Nice of you to stop by. My name is Henrik Palmgren and you are listening to Red Ice Radio. We are coming to you from Sweden in Scandinavia, but you can of course reach us worldwide at our website redicecreations.com. That's the place to go for more radio, videos and news. Today we have John Harris with us, who is behind the website tpuc.org. That stands for the People's United Community. I recently linked up a really interesting talk that he did on Red Ice that was titled It's All an Illusion. This was on the topics of law, legalese, common law, birthright law, corporate law, and much more. I've invited John today to talk a little bit more about some of these subjects, a little bit about himself, how he got started, and his website. I also personally like the fact that we have someone here who is from Europe, in this case the UK, that have looked into this jungle, as it were, of the law and legalese. So this is going to be really, really interesting. Hi, John. Welcome to the program. Very nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You know, thank you. I want to talk a little bit about you first here at the beginning, John. Maybe introduce you, so to speak, to our listeners a little bit. I want to ask you what opened up your eyes and what got you looking into this area to begin with.
Right, where do I start? Well, basically, I'm a carpenter by trade. I'm just I suppose a normal, in England we would call ourselves working class individual, just a carpenter, self-employed. Tried to be, as I say, a successful businessman in my time and failed miserably. Could never understand that either. I kind of didn't understand any of this. I didn't understand there was anything wrong. I was caught up in the egotistic illusion of wanting better this, better that. And basically, I was working on a job locally to me, and I was pitching a roof. And one of the lads was at university, and he said to me, I've got a film here you might like to see, and it was called Loose Change 2, about 9/11. And I remember, funny enough, I was on the same road when the town actually came down, and I was actually up on the roof, and the gentleman who owned the house called us down to watch it on TV. And it looked so surreal, it was unbelievable. Anyway, I watched this film and nothing really dawned on me. Then I watched it again and I saw a camera shake. And that kind of like set something off in me. And I don't know what it was. I can't explain it. But something kind of said, well, that's wrong. Why would a camera shake? There must have been an explosion before the towers come down. Another explosion. So anyway, I sat at a computer one night and I was just wanted to create a website. Don't know why. Just wanted to create one. And looking at domain names, as you do, and looking for something around what the site was called, and I come up with this domain name, and I started this domain and started the website, and it was very basic, and I built it myself. Like I said, I was a carpenter, and I'm not a great – computers don't like me. And I made a lot of mistakes on it, and I wiped it out a few times.
That's how you learn, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I built this very rudimentary basic website, and something quite strange happened because I was initially talking about sort of 9/11 and 7/7, and then I kind of got drawn into that, and then basically suddenly realised it's not about what hit what or what happened. It was actually why it happened and who would want to do something like that, or what they were trying to achieve. And then I looked at someone said to me, rang me up, who had seen the site, and they said about the law. And I said, what about the law? And I said, well, the changes in the law since 9/11, since 7/7. And all of a sudden, all these people coming from all different walks of life, all different age groups came to me. They just phoned me up or sent me letters, sent me information and said, do you know this? And I was saying, no, I don't know anything. So, you know, this is very interesting. And the site started to evolve. And it was evolving with what I was evolving with. So there was something very, I don't say natural anymore, because I don't like ends, and I won't, I'll explain that sometime, but I say actual. I say actual, because things that are happening in the world at this moment are actual. They're not natural, they're actually happening. So the site was evolving, And I was evolving. I was changing. I was changing my perception. I was starting to realize that there was something very, very wrong. But I still didn't know what it was. I was still quite oblivious to it. And I still lived very much in the world of the ego, the world of the person, if you like. Mm. And anyway, cut a long story short, this information come in and it started. It was about constitutional law. It was about statute law. It was about the kings and queens of this country, the history of this country. A lot of the information was just, it was incredible. And I started to do was look at the information and suddenly started to realize there was patterns in everything I was being given. I could see things repeating themselves. And I've seen this so many times. If you actually look back over the history of things, you actually see it's repetitive,
yeah.
Constantly repetitive. So then I got to pondering, well, these soothsayers, philosophers, or whatever you want to call them, basically, or people who are predicting things that are going to happen, basically, it's not too hard to do, because all you do is look at history and you can see that it's doing it. It's repeating itself constantly.
Yeah.
And I kind of using that in mind, I just kind of okay, there's something here. So anyway, started to dig a bit deeper, and the site, as I say, was evolving with us. And then Dan got on board, and a lot of other, and Dan sort of recreated the site so it was pleasing to the eye and it worked properly. And then a lot of other people sort of started to come forth with all different types of information. Richie, who you've spoke to, I know mm-hmm. him, he came a few months ago, and he started to help with the site. But what we started to see was, that there was an illusion. It's not real. There's something going on, and this is all a con trick. And I started to look at basically, once I understood what constitutional law was, and I understood the basis of common law, because there's not a great deal to understand about common law, I started to realize that there was a con trick going on, and we were being conned. And if we were being conned, then according to the way the Commonwealth was set up, sort of like from the 1600s from this country, that possibly meant that 52 or 53 other countries in the world were being conned as well. So this led me into something called a lot of people call Admiralty Law,
yeah,
the law of the sea. But it's not quite the sea, it's the Sea of Rome. It's S-E-E and not S-E-A. And basically, it's the law of money. That's what it basically revolves around. It's money. It's about cash flow. And there's loads and loads of things you can actually see if you actually look at this structure of law. And then I suddenly realized that it's not law. It's policy. None of it's law. It's all just simply policy.
Hmm.
And it's policy of corporations. And they have to fool you into believing you are a member of this society or this corporation, and this doesn't matter where you are, wherever the birth certificate can be produced, basically this is the document they've used to actually fool you.
Mm.
And when I started to kind of dig deeper and deeper and deeper, I suddenly realized that I was sounding like an evangelist. I was like a preacher, because I was saying to people, this is the truth. But the point is, it's my truth. It's what I see. And the only reason I call it my truth is because it works on realization, not on thinking. This is nothing to do with thinking. And
can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah. What it basically is whenever I think about something, my own thoughts or other people's thoughts deceive me. When I allow myself to have realization, I just get a feeling about something. A gut feeling.
It's like intuition.
Yeah. Intuition. Yeah. You could just, I don't really like labeling things. I just kind of I can't explain what it is, but I just know when something's right or wrong.
Mm.
I know. And I don't accept anybody else's right or wrong.
Right. And you shouldn't.
You know? Yeah. I just accept what my own, and then, what I did before is and I even did it at Stoke. I was like an evangelist. A preacher, and I shouldn't have done that. I can't tell you the truth. I can't tell anybody the truth. because we're searching for something externally that we already possess internally.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, we don't, it's like, someone said to me, if you could do something, what would you do? I said, shut the internet down.
Hmm.
And they went, what do you mean? I said, I'd shut the internet down, blink of an eye, I'd stop it in a second. And I said, whoa, hold on, hold on, but what about everybody waking up? I said, everybody's going to wake up when it's their time to wake up.
Mm.
If we need the internet now, then that's fair enough. But sooner or later, we won't need the internet because the internet only mimics the way that human beings connect naturally anyway. We could naturally do this. We could have a connection. It's like that's what's been lost, our connection. And the problem is we've been made to believe that we are this person. But the person is basically an affliction of the mind. It's the ego. And everything that's bad that happens in the world happens because people believe they are this person. Because their status and their ego, and they want betterment all the time. Better position, better status. Well, the truth of the matter is, there's not a human being on this planet that's any better or any less than me. And I'm no better or any less than any other human being.
Mm.
We're all as different as the leaves on the trees, but we're all the same in that, if you want to categorize it, we're all the same. We none of us are any better, none of us are any less. So because human beings are naturally like this, there was a system that's been created, a system of illusion that allows human beings to believe they are better. And that resides in the ego. That is the person. So anyway, this is a long way back. We started to look at the person, how the person was created, mm-hmm. how governments have actually latched on to people. We looked at the word statute, status, and we started to look at the different aspects of law, if you like. And what soon come to mind is reality. In fact, it all revolves around this word status. Everything revolves around it. If you look at the statute comes from the word status, and it's the neuter of status. And status simply means the legal character or condition of a person or a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's its legal position. It's its legal character. Now, when you look at statute is defined, as in Black's Law Dictionary, the latest edition, as a legislative rule of society given the force of law by the consent of the governed. Now, it doesn't say it's law. It says it's given the force of law by the consent of the governed.
Mm-hmm.
So
we agree on it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to agree. It's how they get you to agree, which is the interesting part. It's how they get, especially in the UK, how they get you to agree, because you're actually duped, you're fooled. You're fooled into doing it, because it all works. I've just recently done this, and it actually works on the word understand.
Mm.
Because understanding legalese means to stand under. So you've given someone authority over you. Now,
yeah, I see.
Yeah. So what they'll say to you is, they'll say, right, so if we backtrack, their policy pertains to your legal personality, which is created with the birth certificate. Now, it's nothing to do with the human being. It's attached to the human being, but it's nothing to do with the human being. And because it's only a piece of paper, because the legal world is all pieces of paper.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's nothing but pieces of paper. In reality, in the real world, it doesn't exist. It's only words on a piece of paper. So what they do with a birth certificate is they give you a legal name, which is a given name by your parents. It's given to you. You don't choose it. You are given it at a time when you cannot express a choice. So what they do is they give you this name, and that becomes your legal personality. Now, as you go through life, you will gain titles, Mr., Dr., Lord, whatever. Most of us stay just Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or whatever.
Mm.
That's your legal status. Now, when they ask you, if you go for credit, they'll say subject to status. So subject, if you look at the word subject is something that's under the rule of something else.
Okay.
Nice. And then if you look at status, it's the legal character or condition of a person or a thing. So what they're doing is they're working on the status, so it's the legal status. But you've had this thing attached to you that's just simply a piece of paper. So what they're actually acting against is this piece of paper. But because this piece of paper can't walk into a court of law, or it can't pick up a pen and sign something, then it needs a human being to represent it.
Yeah, represent. There you go.
That's, yeah, represent.
Yes.
So you're representing a piece of paper. Now, I said recently to someone, well, that's fine. They said, well, I've got to go to court. I said, who are they talking to? I said, they're talking to the name that was created, so they're actually talking to the piece of paper. So why don't you send them the piece of paper and say, crack on? Because you're not talking to the human being, you're talking to a piece of paper. And a piece of paper can't pick up a pen, it can't go to court on its own, so it needs a human being there to represent it. What they're doing is duping people into believing they are this piece of paper, but they're not. At the end of the day, in reality, it's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And that's what the person is. The point is, the person's attached to the ego, because that's where the status comes in. So what you've got is, you've got Mr., Mrs., all the different titles. So the titles are your legal status. Yeah? So mm-hmm. You've got a legal status, you've got a legal personality, and then you have a legal status. That is your Mr. So what they're doing is, they've used the status to work on the ego, because when you devise a system out of greed, which is basically how the ego works, and a system out of control, which is also from the ego, because the ego wants to control everything,
Then
you've got the perfect system. Because all you do is play on it, and when you play on the ego, then as long as you maintain it's always on the ego, people will do exactly what you ask them to do, because they want to gain better status.
Hmm.
So simple, such a simple system. But it's also simple to break it down, because once you realize that everything in their world is just a piece of paper, and you suddenly say, someone said to me recently about our money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They said to me about money. Let's just take that phone off of there. They said to me about money, and I says, okay. I says, well, what tangible commodity is behind our currency? And in the UK, it's meant to be gold, or it was sterling silver at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called pound sterling. And The pound is not a currency, it's a weight. So I said, well, if the tax office are asking me for money, they're asking me for this commodity they call money, which is this piece of paper, then I'm simply going to ask the tax office, can you tell me what tangible commodity is behind this piece of paper? When you tell me what it is, I'll go to the Bank of England, exchange my worthless notes for this commodity, and I'll give you that commodity.
Hmm.
Because at the end of the day, all I'm going to be doing is giving you something that is not real. It's a piece of paper. So you want something real from me. So anyway, they said they couldn't understand where I was coming from. So I said, well, look, our pound notes say I promise to pay the bearer on demand. If it's a £20 note, £20. So I said to him, why don't you just write underneath the pounds of what with a question mark and send it out?
Right.
Because it's pounds of what? I'm asking them, what do you want pounds of?
Yeah,
because, the pounds is not a currency. It's a weight. It's a weight. It's nothing to do with any form of currency. It is simply a weight. As you probably understand, it relates to the weight of gold or sterling silver. It was £20 of sterling silver.
Yeah.
All that was basically is a credit note, an IOU. That's all it basically is.
It's the same thing with the American dollar. It's a note. It's a debt. Is it the same in the UK?
Hmm. But the thing is, we've been told that the world's got this. The world's got debt, and it's got all this, right?
Mm.
I've listened to the commercial redemption people, the country's in bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah,
right.
Blah. Yeah, that's great. But I just want to ask a question. If you've got the power to print money, why would there ever be debt?
Yeah, of course.
See, this is what I mean. It is a complete illusion. It's an absolute... Illusions work on three parts. They work on the pledge, the turn, and the prestige.
And it's working. The structure is still in place because all the people are putting their own trust into the system. So, you know, if
yeah,
if a news report comes out which says, okay, we're going bankrupt, you know, everyone is going to act as if we are going bankrupt. And again, an illusion is simply you know, deepening that situation. So it's really weird here what's going on, really.
It's just a con. It's a con. See, how I look at the world is this, right? Human beings live as a community, naturally, okay? They just live as a community. So I take everybody in the world as being a community of human beings. Then they create something called a society. Now, society is basically the socially dominant members of a community. So what we've got worldwide is something very simple. We have the socially dominant members of our community who want to maintain their social dominance because they actually believe that they are better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that all goes back to the status. And it all goes back to the person, the ego. It's all the same. It never changes. It doesn't matter what part of this you look at. You look at it. Obama, President Obama, is a man. But his status is he is President of the United States.
Yeah.
But he's a man. He's no better than anybody else. He's no less than anybody else. But because he has this title, he now believes himself to be a powerful man.
Mm.
You know, and that's their system. That's their world. And all the bad happens in the world because people believe they have the power to do it because they believe they're this person and they have the right to remove human life. Well, what they're actually doing is yeah, they're, if you want it better, I can't really put it any better, but they're playing God.
Yeah, of course.
You can't dictate to what cannot be dictated to. You can't do that.
Hmm.
I don't call what's above us God. I don't actually call it anything because I've never been given anything that's not come from a man's mouth or man's words to describe whatever it is.
Yeah.
I can't describe it. So I know there's something there. And I don't know what it is, and I don't ask. And do you know what? I don't want to know. And that's the point. I don't want to know. And that's when I was talking about thinking. I don't think. I literally shut down the thinking. Because when you shut down the thinking process, you suddenly realize that deny the ego control of you. And it's about control, because everything that you put out is literal. So if you put out, I want to control, then you will be controlled. Now, I've suddenly realized that if I put out, I do not want control, then I won't be controlled.
Hmm.
And that's actually happening. I'm actually seeing this. I know this sounds, but it's literal. If I love, I'll be loved. If I trust, I'll be trusted. And I'll gain trust.
The idea of reflection here, or the idea that what you put out,
absolutely,
you get back, you know. And again, what is interesting here is that you have applied this also to the larger body, shall we call it, of either the community then or the society. If we think of that as a body, as a human body, then the law system and the orders, the structures and the statues and whatever you have represents the ego process of that body, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. See, another thing as well, right, is I ask this question to a lot of people, and I say, what gave one element of our community the authority or the right to turn around and say, we own everything,
yeah,
and we're going to charge you for the pleasure?
I'm really interested in that question, and the question is also how far back it goes, of course, and, you know, it's very difficult to find out, of course, you know, who actually started this up.
It goes as far back as the creation of money. That's the only way, the only place I can possibly see, because the creation of money was done for one reason, to enslave people, because we honestly believe that we can't live without it, and they've designed a world where it is nearly impossible to live without it.
And also, well, I think it actually goes back even further, because I think the money also represents just the means of exchange for something. Of course, we can have a consequence of that is that we get a false value system, meaning that something, you know, for instance, if there's scarcity of something, they can prop up the value of something just because a few want it more, etc. There's a whole lot of problems that comes along with it. But money, for me at least, represent a system of agreement for easy transaction. I don't know about you, John.
I don't know. I just kind of, you know, I would. I've done it. You know, I mean, a lot of the building trade exists. This is what the beauty of the building trade in the United Kingdom. When I was working in the building trade, obviously I worked alongside a lot of trades. And a lot of these trades, if I had a plumber mate, and he might say to me, I need a few doors hanging. I said, yeah, I could do with a bit of work in my bathroom. And it's not, we didn't need money. What do we need money for? He does my bathroom and I sort his doors out. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely. The transaction.
And the value. Yeah, the value is not what the monetary value of the job. It's how much you need that job doing. So in retrospect, how can I say, to fit a bathroom, I don't know, £1,000. To hang a couple of doors, three, four doors, I don't know, £200-300. But the point of it is, more than anything, is the fact that he needs that job doing and he values that. Value is only what we give something. If someone says to me, this bar of gold's worth 600 quid, and I turn around and say, well, it's worth a quid. And they say, well, how do you work that out? I said, because to you, that is precious metal. To me, it's just a piece of metal.
Yeah.
What gives it value? You're only giving it value because you're saying it's precious. I'm giving it the value of saying, well, it's just a piece of metal.
Mm.
It's like a diamond. A diamond to me is just a pretty stone. So it's not, it's got workable commodities. You can put it on. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But why does that still give it value?
Yeah.
Yeah. Value is only what I attribute to something, not what someone else attributes to it. And you can see this in the consumer world, because people bring out these things in the consumer world, and let's say for example, a flat screen TV it comes out and it's £3,000, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when the consumer, you always get an element of society especially will buy it, but then when they hit the real consumers, they have to bring the price down so dramatically because no one will buy it until it's at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
No one will buy it. So basically it's being controlled. And it's like I say to people about this country, we're enslaved by money. We're enslaved by a system that makes us believe money's valuable because it's constantly being taken away from us. And the trouble is people believe something to be valuable when it's constantly removed from you. I.e. money, because we get stiff with so many fines over in the UK, it's just unbelievable. You know, and these fixed penalty notices and all this stuff that they're doing to us is just, and they're using a system of duping people to rake in this revenue. Now, majority of people in the system believe that money is real, it's valuable, so they're frightened of losing it.
Mm.
So they basically keep finding us and taking this money off. It increases people's false reality that this stuff is valuable. So they're basically maintaining the system by taking it away from you. And this is what they do with your rights. They do exactly the same. It's like someone says to me about liberties. And I said, we're losing our liberty. I said, well, hold on. Look at what you're saying. Liberty is not freedom. Liberty is something that's granted. It comes from the old system where a ship pulled into port, and the sailor would apply for liberty to leave the ship to pass port under certain rules and conditions. And what do you need when you want to leave your country?
That's interesting. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And again, I'm drawn back to that idea that it also is that the system is dead, motionless in a way. You talked about this before, and the idea of, for instance, incorporating something that you're making it into a body in the artificial world that they've set up. We can think of the legal term of filing a motion, for instance. It's like it's a dead system, right? So it must be kept alive by our agreements and what we do with the paperwork. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's like, but if you when I was saying about Admiralty, I mean, if you look at everything in our world and what we use, it's like you look at the word bank and you say to yourself, okay, a bank directs the current. Mm-hmm. It directs the currency. The current deposits things on the bank. The current withdraws from the bank. Look at cash flow. Look at directorship. Company directorship, directing the ship on board. You're on the board of the company. There's so many things that are staring us in. But see, the best way to hide something is to put it in plain sight. It's the best way to hide it. If you're going to hide something, then you just put it in plain sight, because we only we look past the end of our nose. We don't look at, you know, we don't see things that are right on the end of our nose. We look straight past it because we're, and the reason we're doing that is because we're always thinking that things are more complicated than they are. And that's, someone said to me recently, there's a famous saying, I think, therefore I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's Rene Descartes, saying his name is, who did this famous saying. Mm-hmm. But my friend rang me up and he said, I think, therefore I am confused. And it's absolutely true, because the more you think about it, the more bloody confused you get about it. You know, if you don't think about it in the first place, I talk about something that's called a soul projection. You know, I see the brain as two things, only two things as well. I see it as being a gearbox for the body and the means of the soul being able to project something to you.
Yeah.
So it's a projector. Yeah. So a screen, if you like. What happens is if I want to know something, then I deliberately don't think about it. I try not to. It's very, very difficult, but I try not to think about it. All of a sudden, something pops into my head. Now, I haven't thought about it, and that's basically what I call a soul projection. When you can actually learn to differentiate between the two, because you have to know both, because it's like slavery. You can't know the difference between being a slave and not being a slave until you experience both things. Otherwise, you've got nothing to differentiate against. You've got to know both sides. Otherwise, it's like if I was just a slave and always a slave for the rest of my life, then all I would ever know was slavery, and I'd never have something to parallel it against or actually say, okay, well, this is different to that, so there must be a difference. Mm. What's happened to me is I've just worked out there's a difference. And what happened was I could actually step outside of the person, the ego, and look back. And actually, it's really strange because when you actually do this, when you actually step outside the person and you look back, you see things completely transparently and you see through them. And what you actually see is a very, very complicated mire of rubbish, absolute rubbish, a legal illusion that the world runs under, and you see it's got a very, very simple foundation, and the very simple foundation is the evolution of slavery. That's all it is. The socially dominant need to maintain that everything works in the world. The predominant workforce of any company, corporation, country, whatever you want to say, is always slaves. It has to be. That's the only way they can possibly get it to work. Because otherwise, everyone will strive to be the socially dominant.
Yeah.
And then you end up where you've got a system. It's like I've seen this with my own eyes. I'll give you an example, right? What I'm saying. My partner was watching Parliament the other night. She actually finds it very funny because it's theatre. It's a bit like Shakespeare says, "The world's a stage and everybody's acting."
Yeah, there you go.
And if you look at statutes, they become acts. Acts of Parliament become statutes. Acts. Everything is acts. So when you look at the characters, the legal character, the status, when you look at, and I talked about the prestige, when an actor gets to a certain prestige, he gets a bigger dressing room. Now, I know that sounds really daft, but if you look at the structure of our law, when you get to a certain legal character, the status, you get to that, there's another set of laws that are in place for you to use, and you're not affected by, and it's basically public and private statutes. And I've only just realized this, and it's called public and private statutes, and I will explain what I'm talking about. So what you're saying, everything is an act. So everything in the world is an act. Because none of it's real. So when you can see this and you can actually see it going on, and Mike, we were watching Parliament anyway. Afterwards, there was a group of individuals, MPs and some people sat around a table talking as they generally do. Guff. And this lady MP, and I'll call her Mrs. Blears because I don't know her first name. Mrs. Blears turned around and said, "I have a lot of respect for the ordinary people." Now, I don't really have to say anymore. What I'm saying is I turned around to my partner and said, "So who does she think she is?"
Yeah, there you go.
"Is she not an ordinary, you know, she's not part of the ordinary people." And you can actually see this ego. It's the ego. It's taken hold of her and it's actually saying to the human being, you're not in control anymore. I have control, and I'm going to maintain control. Mm. All I've done is sever that connection. That's all I've done. I've severed it. I've realized there's an ego there. Because like I said, you've got to know what the ego is to differentiate between having one and not having one. And I don't always succeed. Believe me, it's a battle every single bloody day. Mm. I sometimes look back at some of the conversations I've had, some of the things I've been, some of the times I look back I get a message, I kind of, cool, he was really egotistic there. He was really egotistic. And I said, yeah, okay, but at least I recognize it. And that's what I'm starting to see now. I actually recognize my own faults when the ego actually steps in.
Hmm.
But what we've got, their legal world works. If you go back into Roman civilius law and you look at person, all the way back into Roman law, as early as you can go, you will find that they were attributing the word person to a man.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't tell you is that even though in grammar person is synonymous with men, not all men are persons because slaves were classed as things. And that's where you get status is the legal condition, character or condition of a person or a thing, because they were talking about slaves.
Yeah, okay. Hmm.
And we still classed as things.
So that's, would you say then that everyone is a slave under the system, meaning that everyone is considered a thing, even though you're higher up the ladder, so to speak, of status? Or they're still under the same...
It's still a thing, isn't it? The point is, what do they tell you when you're at school? You got to work hard, you got to get qualifications, you got to think, you got to do this, you got to go to university, you got to get a mortgage. It's all traps.
Yeah.
It's all works on the ego. I've got a bigger house than you. I've got a Porsche. I've got this. I've got that. I know I've been there. I used to do it. I used to have a better car than my next door neighbour. If he got a better car, I got a better car. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely pathetic. What size telly you got? 42 inch. Oh, I've got a 52 inch. It's unbelievable. But this is how the world operates.
Pretty much.
It operates. You know, their world operates on... And the thing, it cracks me up now when I can actually see it now. And I can actually sometimes I feel myself being sucked back down a rabbit hole. You do actually feel it. It's got hold of your ankles and it's dragging you back down. You know, you might be having a bad day. You might be, feeling a bit, I don't know, it happens to all of us. And you might feel, and then all of a sudden, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I lived in this. And it's like you can feel this grab hold of you and actually suck you under. And it's like being in quicksand. And that's what the ego does. Because the ego comes out fighting. And I've noticed this now when I talk to... when I did a talk down at the Foundry in London, 24th.
Mm.
And there was a lawyer sat in the audience with a copy of Black's Law Dictionary. And he was lovely. I had a chat with him after and he was very, very nice. It was very interesting because they're very, very scared about their illusion being broken down. And someone said to me recently in a phone call, they said, you're out of your mind. You need psychiatric treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm quite honest with you, I said, to be out of your mind takes years of practice.
There you go.
Because to get away from the ego, the person, it does take practice. Because this thing is so powerful, this affliction of the human mind is so powerful that the slightest little chance it can take back control, it will. Every argument in the world is not human beings arguing, it's the egos trying to get one over on the other ego.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
You look at it and, my opinion is better than your opinion or my opinion is the truth. And I noticed that by looking back at my Stoke talk, that I stood on, I might as well have been an evangelist. I was preaching to people. I was shouting. You can't do that.
Well,
that's the ego.
It depends on also. I mean, in some regard, I understand what you're saying, where you're coming from, and I think that that's part of the personal development, if you will, but people also have to be woken up, as it were. So it's nothing wrong with that. I also see that it's a purpose to that, and I think that it's a... It's a good thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a double-edged, I do see it's a double-edged sword, but I also see it the Messiah complex, and that's the problem.
That's always there,
We live in the Messiah complex, and everything is the Messiah complex. You mean, for some reason, human beings believe someone's coming to save them, when the truth of the matter is you have to save yourself.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
And that's the point. It's the Messiah complex. Look at the films that are coming out. There's always these bloody Messiah complexes in it. A human being sacrifices himself for the rest of mankind. The point is, if you want to look at the metaphorically about Jesus, if you want to look at that metaphorically, what Jesus was actually saying is sacrifice the person, the ego. Once you sacrifice the ego, then you can live. Then you can live life properly, and we'll have a beautiful place. We live in the most beautiful place. We really do. It is the most wonderful place. But you only see it when you lose the eyes of the ego. When you see it through human eyes, when I say human, you know, but I don't really, even that word, I don't even like that word. When you see it through, when I see it through without the ego actually seeing everything, I see everything. I see the most amazing world. People are looking in space and they're on about, this is so funny, species. There's other species. We've got millions of species on this bloody planet we can't even connect to.
Yeah.
Why would we be looking for elsewhere?
Yeah. Well, it's all that externalization again. And again, it's a reflection that we're not looking at what we already have here. The green is always, you know, greener on the other side, et cetera.
Someone said to me about lions, right? They said to me, I said, funny enough, we were talking about lions, and I said to someone, I said, how would you love to walk up to a lion and get a cuddle? And they were just laughing at me, because they honestly do believe I'm out of my mind. And I said, I said, yeah, but I said, why do you feel you can't walk up to a lion and give it a cuddle? And they said, well, they smell fear. I said, well, is it more to the point? A lion knows what you'll do to your own kind, let alone what you'll do to it. And it's true. Look what we do to each other. And what does it? Where does it always point back to? The ego. War is about ego. I've got a bigger army than you. I've got this. I've got this piece of land. It's mine. How can you own something? How can you own land? It's not even our bloody planet. Who says it's ours? It's a, we've got this most beautiful place to live in, which we're meant to be the caretakers of. We're meant to look after it. That's what we're meant to hear. That's what, not to destroy it, not to rape it, not to claim it, not to kill people because they've stepped onto this so-called piece of land that we own. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's no one. I kind of like look at it this way. Mankind only changes when it's at the epitome of its own destruction. Because that's the only time it will actually change. And if you look back at your life and I look back at my life, the amount of changes that I've made in my life because I've been at the point I am about to lose something that I absolutely love or I adore. And I've changed because I don't want to lose it. And that is exactly that's what's happening to the world. No one can actually, I don't know what's going to come in the future because as far as I'm concerned, there is no future. I make the future now. What I do today, what I try, and the love that I give and the way that I fight the ego is actually creating what will be tomorrow. The past is gone. The future's not here yet. So all we have is now.
Yeah.
So if we try and make now as good as we possibly can, then surely that is the foundation for the future we want. So if you want to see change in the world, be the change you want to see.
Yeah. It's very simple,
so
isn't it? Yeah.
It's so – it is. It's so simple. It is really simple.
I think the idea also of you know, tragedy as a catalyst for change is a common theme also throughout human history. And I even think that the Japanese has a saying that goes that, you know, great danger also brings great opportunity, or we can turn that around. Great opportunity also means great danger in that sense. And so in that regard, I always feel when things are kind of, I guess, depressing in a way, if we talk about it in context of the economic debacle that is going on, I don't see it as a you know, as a negative thing, actually. I see it again as opportunity for things to actually reform or change or go in a better direction. Hopefully they do, of course, but that means that people also have to be aware of where they're taking the system. But that's beside the point. What I'm saying is that we shouldn't feel down because of you know, tragedy or things like that. It's an opportunity. That's what it is.
Well, I see it very simply. I see that mankind has been allowed basically to come to sort of like the epitome of its own destruction. You know, it's been allowed to happen for us to simply understand that we're pretty rubbish at organizing anything. Okay. When we try to control things, we don't do a very good job of it. We don't. And I look back at history now with different eyes because I wasn't there. So I don't know what I'm reading's true. I don't know what I'm being told's true. I only take from history what I sort of look at it completely. I looked at Magna Carta. Mm-hmm. Magna Carta is probably one of the most famous documents in the history of this country, if not the world. It gave the world tribal jury. It gave the world amazing values, amazing values. But the point was Magna Carta was not right for us. It was right for the socially dominant. I now look at Magna Carta as not common law, because it's actually, although the values mirror common law, and common law was built from religious values, and a lot of people don't realise that. That's why a lot of that sort of commercial redemption and a lot of the way, a lot of the individuals who talk about law actually come from a very biblical sort of way on.
That's right, yeah.
But the real actual law is very simple. You just never cause harm or loss, and you don't need anything else. There's nothing else. It covers all eventualities.
Mm-hmm.
The point is with the legal system, I suppose, more than anything, and this is what I saw in Magna Carta, is that you can drive a bus through their arguments. You drive a bus through it because they're so wide. All their arguments are so wide. And that's because all it's about, it revolves around money. That's all it revolves around. There is nothing else. It just revolves around money. Well, when I looked at Magna Carta and I started to break down the language it was wrote in, it's actually a legal document, which means it's not in law, because there's nothing legal that's in law. Legal and lawful are completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
Completely
okay.
Things, miles apart from each other. So I suddenly realized that Magna Carta was wrote for the barons. Now, the barons were the socially dominant at that time. And then what they did is they put a little bit in it. There were 69 articles, and then it was made into a statute in 1297. It was Magna Carta was originally wrote in 1215, then 16, then 17, then 25, then 97. The statute of 97 was the first official statute on the statute roll of England. When you look at the statute, statute's just policy, because all statutes are just policy. They're not law. And that this was basically sort of like the start of the creation of the person in law. So you had the persons, which were the barons and the socially dominant. Then you had the things. That's with us. We were the serfs. We were slaves. We were also classed as subjects. Now, subjects are subject to the rule of something, which generally is if you live under a king, queen, government, or any form of system that controls you, then basically you're in slavery. It's master-slave syndrome, which is biblical, because when you look at any religion in the world, the first thing you're asked to is become subservient to something. You're being told what that is. You're not allowed to discover it yourself.
Yeah.
So a man saying to you, it's this, it's called that, and you've got to do this to worship it. So when I looked at Magna Carta, I suddenly realized that there was something that was called public statutes and private statutes. And when I talked about earlier about the legal status and legal character, when they go up the line, they go away from these public statutes, which control the rest of society, and they're allowed to use these private statutes, which is Magna Carta is one of them. Now, I kind of got evidence of this because I recently had a talk with a chief inspector from the police and a Hertfordshire constabulary, and I had a long conversation, well, not exceptionally long, but it was a very interesting conversation, because I basically told him I knew the score, mm-hmm. I knew the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I got him to overrule statutory legislation, statute law, and go back to the private statute, which he would call common law, because he doesn't realise what it is. But I got him to do that. Now, the reason they do that is because if they didn't do it, they'd have to admit that that law maintained that we would always be slaves. And if he denies me the use of it, then he would have to admit, well, that law wasn't right for you. It was only right for us. And when you look at the police service in the United Kingdom, you've basically got police officers who walk the streets who are basically, how can I say? I don't know how to put this politely. Useful idiots best way, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't even know the law. We've got video evidence of these. They don't even know. They try and enforce things that don't exist. And then you've got a manager. Now, the chief inspector is basically a manager. Now, the difference between a policeman and a police officer, or a policeman or woman and a police officer, is simple. A policeman or woman are there to uphold the common law values, which is the private statute.
Mm-hmm.
They are there never to deny or delay right or justice to any individual. They're there to uphold the common law of harm and loss. They are there to make sure that no one in this land is ever denied right or justice. Now, the police officer is a completely different thing. It's like a persona they put on. It's the person again. And basically, they are there as corporate enforcement policy agents. Because when you look at the word police, it actually comes from the word policy. So mm-hmm. you'll talk, you know, policy of a corporation. So when I looked into the United Kingdom, I found the United Kingdom Corporation Limited. That's a company. And I couldn't believe this. Someone actually told me, and I went and looked it up myself, and I actually found it. Then, recently, someone has given us some information regarding the United Kingdom Corporation Limited being talked about in the Lords. So they do talk about it. They talk about it. So, you know, it's not something that's fallacy. It actually exists. So that means we live in a corporation. Now I looked at all the police, and the police are corporations. Then I looked at the Ministry of Justice. That's a corporation, and it actually trades in the name of our magistrates' courts. So mm-hmm. basically, the magistrates' courts are corporate courts that are trading names of the Ministry of Justice that actually has a county court judgment registered against it. It's actually got, it's been caught up by its own system. Couldn't understand that at first. Then I suddenly realised that if it has to live, if it's created this system, then it has to live by it. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. What dawned on me more than anything, a bit of realisation, I suppose, is this. They've made a system that's trapped them. Their own system is trapping them because it's like a fire.
Yeah.
And it's consuming everything around it. But the point is, with a fire, when it's consumed everything, there's only one thing left to consume.
Itself.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's what's happening.
Mm.
That's why we're seeing, I believe we're seeing what we're seeing the world over. It's consuming itself.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's happening as well, which we've noticed, is when a ship sinks, the rats flee. The first thing that flees the sinking ship is the rats, and the rats squeal. And that's exactly what's happening. They're squealing, and they're starting to tell tales, and they're starting to tell things. And this is happening. We're actually seeing this happening. Now, recently, I don't know if you know, but in the UK, they've talked about a summer of discontent.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, riots and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's marketing. They're basically marketing science. So what they do is they market something, and then they use – I was talking to a friend of mine, David, and he told me about this. It's called tracking. They do market tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they market something, they set it out, and then they track it to see sort of what sort of response it got. And this is basically a corporation that's marketing something. They're trying to
– create
this. Yeah, they want civil disobedience.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the first thing I thought about when I saw the news story. I put one up on our website of it also as well. And the first thing I thought about is that this is only going to create more riot. And that's what they want then. This is what they're advertising. Yes, this is stage on. It's really, really incredible. Why do you think they want to do this then? Why do they want to crash their own system? Or is there some other purpose for this?
No, it's just it'll be a total lockdown. That's what they're after. They need to lock everything down now. It's got to the stage where people are naturally realise there's something wrong. They don't know what, and most people don't know what it is, but they know there's something wrong. And I believe that is because one of the things that human beings are very, very don't like, they might accept it for a while, is change, and then all of a sudden they want to slip back into the comfort zone. Human beings naturally do that. Well, that's absolutely fine. So there is this worldwide, if you want to call it, awareness that there's something wrong. And it doesn't matter who you talk to. You know, I mean, I approach people in very different ways. I basically say to most people, you know, I feel there's something very wrong with our country, and that's it. And I allow them to approach me with whatever they want to come back with. I used to try and do the old trick of force everything down people's throats, but what you actually do is sometimes you actually do the opposite of what you're trying to do because they turn off. They actually, you can see it, you watch it, you can actually see them shut down.
Yep.
It's like a shutter door comes down behind the eyes and that's it, job done. Yeah.
I know, I've seen it many times.
Yeah. But if you, and that shutter door is actually very important, and I kind of see that as something very important, that shutter door as well, because anyway, what they've done is they need this summer of discontent. They need people on the streets, and they will create it. Mm. They will create. We have evidence that there was a demonstration, and there was non-uniformed police officers started on police officers.
Are you thinking about the one that took place up in Canada, the SPP or something like that?
Yeah, there's been quite a few instances, but recently this has been brought to my attention about this incident that happened, and it was actually they knew they were police officers. Yeah. They were obviously not in uniform, and they attacked their own officers to create the problem.
Yep.
Right. What I started 22nd of March last year was I told, basically, I went down to Buckingham Palace actually and served papers on the Queen. I served affidavits on her to say I've had enough. You've got 40 days to sort this out. It was under Article 61 of Magna Carta. Now, nothing in this world is going to be sorted out by more bits of paper. Okay, so all it was bits of paper. But what it did do was actually allow for the Foreign and Commonwealth Office and the Queen to understand that there is, at least at that time, one individual who's basically had enough and is basically saying, I'm not having anything more to do with this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm removing myself from it. You crack on, but I'm nothing to do with this anymore.
Hey, John, I think that's a good thing I want to touch more upon this idea of how you work with the system and if you have to, you know, take yourself out of it in order to affect it, or if you have to still stay in the system in order to change it. I want to talk more about that, but I think we should maybe take a little break here, John, and then continue talking a little bit more in our member section for our subscribers. And then I want to talk more about your visit, obviously, to Buckingham Palace and tie this together with the Holy See. I want to talk also about a little bit more about the root system. We call it the mother system of the British and so forth. So I'm really looking forward to spending a bit more time here with you in our member section. But why don't we round things off here for this segment so you can tell us about your website, if there's any videos out there that you want to suggest people to go watch, or links or sources or what have you. So the last couple of minutes here in this segment are all yours, John.
Okay. Well, basically, the only real thing I want to say to people is the People's United Community is basically an information. It's like a hub of information. So what we ask people to do is come to us with information. It doesn't matter what it's about. Just bring, if you bring the information to us, what we do is we look at the information and we start to unravel it. We look at it very simple. I'm very simple. And I mean that in all, I am simple. I don't look at anything complicated and see complicated. I only see simple. And everything that's complicated in the world has a very simple foundation. And all I look for is the foundation. I relate it to buildings. If you've got a building, doesn't matter how complicated that building is, it sits on a very simple foundation. And that's how I work with things. The People's United Collective, TPUC.org, is about people coming together from all over the world, just coming to us and saying, look, we see this, what do you make of it? We see that, what do you make of it? There's people from, with the website now is, you know, last month, February, we had 3 million hits. which for a little tiny site that we are is quite incredible. I don't really understand the magnitude of all that, but you know, I mean, someone was explaining about visitors and hits and all this, and I don't really get involved in that. All I know is there's a lot of traffic. We're getting hits from 101 countries. So we're getting emails now from Japan, Mexico, America, Canada, all over the world. These emails are coming in. If you know about your system and you know how your system works, then come and tell us, or come to our forum and tell us, so people from your country can start to relate. We designed a community. We want it to be a worldwide community where everybody starts to talk to each other, starts to communicate, and make the most of it, because sooner or later the internet will shut down, and there's a big reason that will happen. And I will explain that if you remind me. Yes. I will explain it. But there is a big reason why the internet will shut down. But for the time being, while we've got the internet and we've got it, let's use it for the best possible means, and that's for people to actually start to communicate and talk to each other. And let's break down the borders and the boundaries, because there isn't none. Human beings don't need borders and boundaries. Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter how we talk or where we come from. We're all the same.
So the website again is tpuc.org. Head on over there, check it out. I think it's an excellent idea, with the people sharing their own knowledge in regards to what their local system looks like and so forth. So again, tpuc.org, go over there, check it out. We're going to take a little break here, listen to some music, and then we'll be back for much more for Red Ice members. So stay tuned. Talk to you soon. We'll continue talking more with John Harris for Red Ice members. We're going to talk more about the ego, thought, freedom, government, money, love, sex as manipulation, and the shutting down of the internet. Go to redicecreations.com, enter our members area, and tune into part 2, or click on sign up to subscribe and get full access to all of our members' content, radio, webcasts, videos, and much more. So we'll take a little break right here, listen to some music, and we'll be back with part 2 of John Harris for Red Ice members.